is Lawton Ratcher, not found. He's okay to send to the state. The state, you're looking at 5 to 7 days for each one of those. Then if they can okay, they think it will be ready that version before we have a court meeting in London. I feel like that it should be back, not for sure, but they feel like it will, so hopefully we can do that next quarter.
I'd just like to say one thing. We had a rather lengthy discussion about traffic control plans in relation to that area down south of town by Highland Park Church and the funeral. And although it is not ideal, I think that it's as good as we can get it. And I did see something in the papers, the funeral put in there asking for cooperation of people that are attending funerals, and I appreciated them doing that. And I will say that they're happy about the situation, but they are happier than they were. We've got signs down there that at least direct you into the church and the funeral home. We've eliminated that far south entrance, which I thought was rather awkward, and there's ample room to make an entry there at the north end of the church and the funeral home for both coming in and going out. I feel like it's safe. That's the first and most important thing, and it's as convenient as we can get it. So I believe everybody is okay with it as it stands right now.
I do know the sign out there, too, it says funeral home.
Funeral home and church. I spoke with the pastor at Highland Park. I guess it was last Friday, and he expressed his gratitude for getting all of that done down. He apparently is pleased. All right, item number four. We welcome Dr. Brad Johnson from Northeast Texas Community College. He's going to tell us about some planning that they're working on right now.
Thank you, Judge. Commissioners, thank you for the chance to address you this morning. I'll be quite brief, but I will say that the brevity doesn't indicate the importance of what I'm here to alert you to. The college is beginning a new strategic planning process, one that will be completed in August, but the heavy lifting will take place between now and May. And what I'm here to do is to ask you as elected officials, as representatives of the county, to be aware of and participate to as great an extent as your schedules allow. Participate with us in this planning process. Strategic planning for an organization like the college is terribly important because any public institution has limited resources. You all struggle with those issues every day. And a strategic plan sets your priorities. It tells you what you're going to spend money on. But by silence, it tells you what you are not going to spend your money and your time on, or what you will put in that category of we'll do it as we can along the way. And so because we're a community college and we exist to serve this county and Morris County and Camp County, it's terribly important that our plans are a reflection of what our community wants and needs, not just today, but going forward. Because the kinds of things that we do in many ways are in the pipeline several years before they are in a position to be able to benefit the county. In other words, if you want a particular skill set, it takes us years to create the plan and put students into that program and graduate them before you have that skill set out to be used by industry and by the community. So we want you to participate with us. The world is changing very dramatically. It's changing in terms of the global nature of our world and the fact that we really don't have the ability anymore to insulate ourselves from what's happening around the world in all kinds of ways. It's also changing because of the rapid change in technology. Higher education is also changing dramatically, and the college needs to think through how we're going to be different 10 years from now than we are today, and how we're going to be the same, what we need to preserve, and what we need to change. So that's what we're going to work on. We have designed a process that's intentionally open and that seeks a lot of input. It begins with a couple of education summits. The first one we had last Thursday. There were about 160 people there at the Wadley participating in that education summit. The next one will be February 7th from 7 to 10 p.m. It's an evening time selected on purpose to encourage people whose schedules otherwise into a social media phase where the work that's being done by a planning team will be posted as things come out on Facebook and Twitter and on a web page that outlines the overall plan. And people can use their phones, their computers, or whatever, to respond to ideas as they're coming out. As we float ideas, people can say, I like this, I don't like this, here's a resource or a person that you might want to go talk to about this idea. We tried this and it had certain problems. All those kinds of things that can help us do a better job of coming up with a plan. There will be a 25-person planning group that will work beginning in late February to compile the objectives. Each of the objectives will then be translated into actual action plans with budget and so on. And then in late May, that same strategic planning team will review all of those plans and will decide what is realistic and what fits with the overall priority and what doesn't. In June, our board will review carefully that entire draft plan, and they will put their stamp on it at that time as to whether they want something different. And then over the summer, the administration will align our budget to make that plan practical. And the board will formally consider that in August. So that's how that process looks. But I just would encourage people to participate. The one on the 7th is actually a lot of fun. We did it for the first time last Thursday. And the feedback I got was really quite gratifying, because the way it works is it's very fast-paced. We're using some of the top thinkers in the world to do us through wonders of YouTube and so on. And we watch brief videos, and people have a chance to think about and make some notes to themselves. And then we watch a longer one, about 15 to 18 minutes. And then we break up in groups and we reflect and react to each other about what we've seen. So that around the table are students and faculty and staff and community members together talking about what these things make us think. This event is not to come up with the specific ideas, but rather to start a community-wide conversation. And those conversations are hard to get started because people are busy. You all know that in many cases, when you most want the public to be engaged, they're not engaged until after you have had to make certain decisions. Their engagement at that time is much more difficult to respond to than if you had been able to get their input early on. And that's what we're seeking in this process. Just to let you know, our last strategic plan, which was assembled in early 2009, resulted in a number of the projects that you all are aware of, including the Industrial Technology Training Center. We've opened 4 programs during this very same period of time that the college has been cut in major ways at every level in terms of funding. But we were able to do that because we knew what our priorities were. At the same time, we closed 3 other programs. For the same reason, they were not viable according to the criteria that we needed them to be, and so we had to move those resources over to other things. We opened the Ag Center in that period of time. We opened doubled the student housing available on campus, and by the way, that project is going very well. And so I say that to you only to say that these are not plans that sit on the shelf. These are operational plans that we live by every day, that our board uses each year when it reviews our plans and our budget. So I think it's worth people's time if you have to. I also want to thank you as commissioners. You know, we are one of the larger facilities in Titus County, and your work in support of the college is much appreciated. We have all kinds of issues, as Commissioner Hockaday knows, from time to time on our campus, and if we were not in positive relationship with the county, those issues would be harder to take on. So thank you very much for the work that you all do for us. Be happy to answer your questions.
February 7th meeting is open to anybody who wants to come.
Open to anybody. It's at the Watley Performing Arts Center. We will provide water and some snacks, and we will finish before 10 o'clock.
What day is that?
That's a Thursday.
Good luck in that process. I know it's
Yeah, shall I?
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number five, consider possibly approve a resolution to change the name of the geographical area now known as Blodgett to its original and historical name and designation of Fort Sherman, Titus County, Texas. This is not something that I just made up and put on the agenda. I have this brought to me, and I thought what better way to initiate some discussion than to put it on the agenda. I thought there might be some more people here to talk to us about this, and so I personally would not want to make a move this significant without hearing from a good number of people that can explain to me why this is a good idea. Is there anybody here that would like to discuss this? Well,
Judge, this was brought to my attention just a couple of weeks ago. Steve Austin. There had been some talk about it, looking at it. Fort Sherman is located really about, I'm going to say about a mile from Blodgett south. Blodgett just before you go across Lake Bob Sand, the old Fort Sherman was located there. And that was used as a resting area for our, they called them different names, what I would consider Texas Rangers. And I think the headquarters was in Red River County, and that was the southern part of this region that they kept, and there was a fort that was there, and it was used for the rangers and the people that were traveling could use shelter. That would be shelter, but that had a place to stay, and that had a place to feed their horses and these type things. So it was the southern border of this region that we have as Northeast Texas right now. Rangers did use that as a rest station. This was back in the early 1800s. Okay, and then later on, they were the little community Blodgett. They were going to look at naming it Liberty, Texas, and then they found out there was a Liberty, already Liberty. So you couldn't have used that. And then John Blodgett, they put a post office in there in the early 1800s, and I think it was there for 2 years. That's where the name Blodgett came from. And after that period of time, I think it was transferred to Winfield, and our males lived in Winfield. And now it's from Mount Pleasant. Their areas shrank a little bit in the Winfield area, and a little bit in Blodgett. Mount Pleasant picked up the Blodgett community over there. And I've talked to some people about this, so people feel like it's a good idea. I've had others that have done this with Blodgett all my life. You know, I really don't have a problem with the name change, but you need to talk to all the other people, older people, different families that grew up there, and that's what I'd like to do, is table this, and then we're going to have a Tri-Lake Volunteer Fire Department chili supper this coming Saturday. I'll get to see a lot of people come through there, and I do have some people I'm going to visit and call and talk to them about this. Anyway, that's a little history of it, and but like I said, I have some people for it, some people really doesn't make any difference, and other people said, well, you know, this is part of our heritage, so I'd like to talk to more people about it, kind of look into it a little bit more today, and talk to people, kind of get their feelings out of it. I think the name Fort Sherman is a beautiful name, and I think it would be good. That title of name, originality of that area, Fort Sherman is about a mile south of the Blodgett, just before you go across Lake Bob Sand. It's right across from the state park. Also, I have relatives buried out there in the cemetery that's there in the state park.
Is there anybody who's strongly in favor of this? I think the absence from this meeting indicates to me this is not a real important thing.
Well, I was not expecting to be on the agenda again at this time, so I don't know if they were not ready to present their side of it or whatever. I know I have talked to our Crime Watch committees. They're involved in it. I talked to Tom out there, Blair. And I know they're trying to get a kind of a community deal where they have something like a camp and places like that, trying to get people to come in there and working on a project out there to vote around with the state, local water district and things like this. So they've got a lot of activities going out there, what they're trying to do. But
what's the population of Blodgett?
In the Blodgett community, you're probably not looking over probably 20,000 houses in that area. It varies. And if you extend it all the way to Lake Bob Salmon, it would bring in a lot more people in that area. It just depends. The Blodgett community is not really a community. It was a thriving community at one time. It had its own little general store. Had a school right there. As you stop the stop sign on the left, there's the church's land there, and there's the preacher's home there. But there was a lodging school, and there was a Montessori school. There was all kind of little schools and communities out, just not in that area, all over Titus County, because you had to understand that they didn't have what kids had to walk to school to ride horses or wagons back in those days. So anyway, it has been talked about and looked at, and I think so we just need to discuss it and talk to more people and see what they really want to do here.
Okay, Mike, does it have any effect, change of the name, would it have any effect on 911?
It should not.
Because those are all just county road numbers.
Each individual road has its own designated number. In each, you have a physical address out there. And this is something I want to comment about at the end about our 911 system and our stop signs and stuff. And I know Thomas, well, we've all had big troubles with this. People tearing our signs down. But I'm going to mention again and agree with that. But I do not think it will affect in any form or fashion the 911 system.
You might share with them. I'd like to see maybe they would put together a list of signatures. Web
would say this, Judge, the $5,000 in software expense and the $3,000 in other expense are basically miscellaneous. That's $8,000. The only items I really have identified are that antivirus software and $750 for some kind of backup software. So there is some money there. And then like you said, we've got $6,500 budgeted towards KBRO. And in my notes, it was 100 times 65. I don't know if it's $100 an hour for 65 hours or $65 an hour for 100 hours. I don't remember which way that works. But we did have some of that. There is some room to cover part of this $17,850, probably half of it anyway, in the existing budget.
And I will say that all of these things that he's proposed here, we have been, since we approved them last year, have been in effect. And I have discussed all these with Sean, and he believes in each of them. If we want the frequency of backup, that's the one that's a variable there. We've got quite a bit of time budgeted for website development. If we spend 12 hours a month in 2012, whether or not we need to expect to use that same amount now that we did that major cleanup to our website, that was one of the things I was considering is I don't think we need to budget a full $10,800 on the website. I was not in favor of a daily backup. I felt like the backup we had in place completely was adequate.
How much of a difference is that, do you remember? Is it on your sheets there?
Well, we had been receiving that basic backup that had been going out as part of their service at that time. We asked for a substantial amount of additional time, and that they were literally going to go to a daily backup and transport the tapes back and forth to Sultan.
So you think if they went back to a weekly, that there would be no, that would be covered with about the $57,000?
I don't know. I'll have to ask him, but we did make the expenditure for those additional sets of tapes. 10 hours of emergency support. Things will happen. We might as well plan for it. This is what he says is we've been averaging. The full system backup. We did have an extensive discussion about that last fall. That's mandatory.
$10,000 is on page 78, and it's in the 316 account for $10,000. You got $25,000 for technology expense, and this page 80 in the 2012 budget for a lot of technology expense.
My guess would be that's computers, but I'd go get the...
I don't know what those are.
Hold on, I'll go find out.
It's more than the $209,000.
What I think it was is for annual replacements of computers. We decided to get on a replacement of computers about every 5 years. Rather than just replacing them when they crash, we decided to replace about 20% of these machines each year. And we did replace about 20 machines over the last year. And we're continuing at that pace. But you don't end up having a, you know, an 8-year-old computer. We had quite a few of those around.
Page 78.
When those crashed, we've got a lot of extra time and expense involved in replacing those rather than having planned replacement. Old stuff to replace first.
Yeah.
It might take about 5 years out.
Page 78 is the JP Technology Fund. That $10,000 is for buying computers. Yes. The computers sit at everybody's desk. What was the other page? Page 80. I'm sure that's probably
in the JP department.
Yes. Well, remember what we try to get them to do is that money can only be used for computers type stuff. And if they've got all the computers they need and another office and the county needs a computer, we try to get them to buy those computers for those other offices. But that is for the actual...
We get their hand-me-downs that are used for because of that technology fund, which is money that they tack on to the fines that they collect, they have available earmarked monies for IT purposes.
Right.
So they typically will buy computers, printers, scanners, et cetera, in their office first, and then they hand us down their used equipment.
Right.
Which is
and, really and if I remember right, last year's budget, towards the end of the year, there wasn't enough money in their funds to do that, and we bought about $20,000 worth of computers, I believe.
They replace computers, scanners, printers.
Right, around the county. So that's for the units that sit on everybody's desk. The part that's in the $209,000 is strictly for software and cable technologies and people like that. The actual computers.
Not hardware.
Right.
Also, the money for the JP sheet, that is a fee that's put on.
Yes.
That can only be spent for those type of items. You can find a full cost or whatever that money is. First, you pay the fee, pay that fee, and it goes into a special fund. It can only be spent for those items.
In other words, the $25,000 on the...
Which page was the $25,000 on? Is the county and district court. That's the technology fund. So, but I've only got $2,500 written down there, so I need to double check that. But again, that's just their. That's the, both JPs have the technology funds, so that's all that is. Is that's just what we're budgeting, what we think they're going to bring in. And that's the only thing the money can be spent on. So, but I've got $2,500 on it, and I've got $10,000 on the other technology. But I'll double check that.
There's a line item that covers those replacement computers.
Well, we did that in last year's budget, I think. So it's not going to be in here.
Right, that's what I'm looking at.
I don't remember what line that was on. But I do think we spent about $20,000 on computers, if I remember right. Let me go see which line it's on. I'll tell you.
Would you like to do that call of a motion to table this until we get
John
to $50 for 2 days of meals that are not provided at the event. She will share a room with the Franklin County agent, so the room will be half the cost and net to us $96.14 for those 2 nights. And she will take a personal vehicle. Looks like her total cost here about, she said she would be carpooling. I was going to get on that one. $206 worth of expenses related to that. East Region Professional Development Summit. Those are the only three that are included in this meeting's request for travel and seminars.
Make a motion to approve the
Motion by Commissioner Fields and a second by Commissioner Hinton to approve these three travel requests. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried none. Carl, you want to pick that
up? Yeah. Here's a on the first question about the 10,000, the 15,000, Fund 28 is the JP1 technology fund, and we budgeted $15,000 in there. But again, we're just budgeting what they may spend. They have the right to spend whatever money comes in there because that's a special fee and that's all it can be used for. Fund 29 is JP2, which is Paula. There hadn't been as much money coming in there, so we budgeted $10,000 in there. Fund 30 is a new fund. It's the County and District Court Technology Fund that is Diane's and Deborah's together. And since it's just started, there's not a lot in there. That's the one that's $2,500 in and out. But those are monies that are available to buy computers with. The big item that we bought last year, we bought it in August. I was thinking it was $20,000. It was 20 computers. It was $35,000. It was computers, here's the invoice. There was 20 computers, a total of 25 computers. 20 for replacement, 3 for emergency standby, and 2 standby monitors. And then there was hardware cleanup and LCD monitors. So it was like $25,000, and then the hours on the website cleanup were on that same invoice, and it was $10,500.
I was going to say, we just spent $35,000. No, computers were supposed to be $5,000 a piece.
Right, $17,000. Let's see, $17,962 for computers. It's $10,500 for website cleanup. And $6,844 for data backup and disaster recovery. So when we did all of that stuff, we handled all of that stuff at that same
time. And that was a one-time server that backed up our data each day. So the computers are running about $800 a piece, it sounds like. And that included the necessary software that went in inside of the setup.
Right. But that whole invoice was $35,000, and that was all coded to 503, which is the courthouse department.
Okay.
But that was in last year's numbers.
What's that same account for this year? That's the numbers that I gave out here earlier.
That account would be 503. You're talking about where that money came from last year?
Yeah,
it's going to be an 010.
We have active money budgeted this year to replace the same number of computers we did last year. Between the technology funds that we can use?
No, I don't have anything budgeted in there for this year. I'm assuming all of those computers will be bought out of the technology funds for this year. Yeah. And hopefully we don't need that many, but I don't know. But we've got 10,000 in one JP and 15,000 in the other, so there's 25,000.
We had approved annual replacement, I think, of about 20%.
Good.
Which it sounds like is,
Now again, I don't know if any of the JPs are here, but the JPs have, they have to agree to let us use that money, but that's the intention.
And that brings in about what between the two? 25,000, 30,000.
Yeah, but there's you can look over here right now on these cash reports. There's There's $26,000 in JP1's money right now, and there's $15,000 in JP2's, so there's $41,000 in those funds right now. And that's by counting the county and district court, and that's another $3,000. $44,000 there. And hopefully they will allow us to use my computer.
We made a lot of headway in upgrading our inventory of computers. We got rid of all those really old machines. Everything we got right now is a pretty big computer.
Right. But if we, and if we replace 20 every year, which I think is what we planned on doing, then that's about $18,000 a year. If they will agree, let's use it.
That would like to happen.
Right, they've been wanting to do this fast.
Right, item number 9, approve oral and written reports of county officials.
Oh, you have my reports now. Like I said, if you look on that first page down at fund, you'll see those technology funds. It's number 28, 29, and 30. About halfway down the page. So I think we've already sent the money back. And the other thing on that, Thomas, I was thinking about the other day, is that I don't think they can ask us for the interest. I don't think they can. I think all they can ask us back for is the original principal they gave. Right, and we've paid them back two amounts now. So what I may do is I may separate the balance of that money so we can see those two numbers separate. Keep, and I'm not sure that we have to use it for anything in particular. I'm not sure we have to use that interest for anything in particular. I don't know that. So it could, in the worst case scenario, we could put that back in General County if that's what we needed.
We need to be prepared to start sending that money back.
Right, but what I'm saying, Brian, is there's not, out of that $700,000 that's in there, there's probably only a couple hundred thousand of that that's still there.
Right.
Because I think we started with $350,000, $500,000, something like that. And we've sent them two chunks back. I don't remember what the last two, I don't remember how much it is, but it would be less than half of the money that's in there.
All right, good.
But that's earned interest for, 15 years or so, maybe longer than that.
on Chip, and I think we really enjoyed that past entertainment in Sergeant 3. The other thing I want to talk about are signs. This weekend, I had about two or three different signs that were run over by somebody with a truck or something of this nature. And that bent the sign over, and then they stole the stop sign. Now, on these stop signs, we have Titus County Precinct 2 on the back of these signs. Every sign I have identified, it was a magic marker that's back there. The bad thing about this, when you knock these, and I personally feel like it's kids that's doing this. I hope it's not that it is. I wish kids would do this. And I know Thomas has had some problems about this, and Phil, you're all puts the numbers down on the ground, and they come off, it may be knocked off, they may knock it off, tear it off. That's the 911 system. First of all, that stop sign's gone, and the person comes down that through that county road, and they don't know the area, and they go past that, it could cause a very serious accident or get somebody killed. The 911 system is there for a reason. It's to get people to their houses, quick as possible, but the people in that ambulance or the sheriff's department, they needed a road number. We're small enough county where most of the deputies pretty well know their roads, and they know a lot of people where they live. But that 911 system, to get to that home, they need to be on the right road, and when that's gone, when a stop sign's gone, then you've caused a serious condition here, and I'm not so sure. I know they have done this in other places, but if you're caught stealing a sign or something, and there's an emergency down there. I know this happened, I believe, in Florida. A person died because they could not find a home because somebody had stole the signs, and they caught the person that did it, and they charged them with manslaughter. So it's serious. You knock down these signs, you stop, you take the stop signs, you take them down. The road number signs, you're making it a very dangerous situation. Parents can stop a lot of this by not letting, if their child has a stop sign or they have a yield sign or something like this in their children's room, they need to take them away from them. Bring them to any one of us, we'll take them, and we just need to stop this. Somebody's going to get hurt out there because they're knocking signs down, running over. It's not an accident. We had three done this weekend. We're trying to get those back up as quick as we can. Because it's a serious situation. Ambulances, fire departments, if those signs are gone, they don't know what road to turn on. So anyway, this is a reminder of us young people. We need to encourage them to leave those signs alone. Because it's for the benefit of all types of counties. That's all I think.
I just like to report that they're still coming along pretty well with the bridge down there. It's a little bit of rain, kind of getting a little more water down there, but they're coming along with the bridge on 3250.
Okay. I just like to echo what Mike said. I spend somewhere between $3,000 every year just for sign replacement, road sign. Some of these signs are the same ones in the same locale that leaves a place to get every year. So, I don't know what you do about it except maybe the parents and us solve this problem.
Thomas, I'll see if I can get something called Crime Stoppers to help us out.
Yes.
Otherwise, let the parents start acting like parents and patrolling those rubberheads, okay?
All right, I need a motion to go into executive session, and I don't expect, I shouldn't say that, there may be action to come out, I don't know, but it shouldn't be too long, so if I can get a motion to go into executive session, all right, motion to go into executive session, we hear about
vote on that motion and second to go into executive session.
Let's vote on the motion to go into executive session.
I'm not done, you just hit this right here.